He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gliso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is the Lunch with Gliso catch-up podcast. The bits of chat you may have missed from earlier, the parts that we just didn't have time to play earlier today. For our first edition, we found out more about our special guest host across the month of Oztober, Dave Gleeson.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your chow down. I can't wait to get to my lunch. I've got it sitting in front of me. Oh, I've gone for a couple of meat pies. Is that a great Aussie lunch or what?
I was about to ask, what's the usual fare when you're on a big tour, you're travelling from town to town? Is it a case of whatever happens to be at the local roadhouse in between gig?
We call it stunt dining. And what happens is you pull into a service station and you see that stuff in the Bay Marie. You say, oh, I'll have that dim sim. That is stunt dining for sure.
And I wanted to find out a little bit more about one of the Screaming Jets' biggest hits. Take us behind the scenes of Better.
People come up and say, I love that song you wrote, Better. And I'm always at pains to say I didn't write it. Do you know what? It'd be much easier for me to say thanks very much. Knowing that I'm not the one getting all the money for it, but still being able to take the credit for it, that'd be good. But now that came up about very, very early on. There was a guy who used to work for us. He was a struggling father of two kids. Very strangely for those days, he actually ended up with custody of the two kids. So they were at all our gigs. There was times when he couldn't get a babysitter and they'd be sleeping in road cases on the side of stage while we were on stage playing. So, I mean, nowadays, obviously, you'd get absolutely purloined for that. On social media, you'd get smashed. But, yeah, these kids slept in stage boxes. And it's just about a really rough time that he went through. And it's one of those cases where Grant Walmsley, who wrote the song, he really encapsulated what was going on in someone's life. And I guess it resonated with not just us, but the producers that heard it. They were like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a big one. The sad part about it was, and we still say that this is the reason it didn't get legs in the States, was we got over to the United States and that was our the second single they released. And we were all just sitting around one night and, you know, we'd had copies of it for weeks by that stage. We'd been in the States and someone said, oh, we should put one on, listen to it. So I put it on, listen to it. It had my demo vocal on it, didn't have my actual final vocal. It wasn't the actual final mastered mix of the song.
So it was a little bit raw, like, or?
Yeah, yeah. It was, and you know, American songs, they're slick as duck's poo. And so once we heard that, we went into a big fight with the record company. That was the beginning of the end for our relationship with Ruart, which just soured over the next three or four albums since then. So, but it was a great start, and obviously we're very thankful for the fact that Grant was able to write the song Better. I will say that it was my idea to go 1, 2, 3, 4. So,
that's your part of it. Gliso, I understand you've been confused for other prominent Australian musos in your time.
Oh, many times. One time when I first moved to Adelaide, I was walking through a nightclub and a 17-year-old chick said, oh, and my dad's got all your records. And I go, oh, cool. Go to the toilet, come back. She goes, look, it's that guy from Simply Red. I've never had red hair, but just the way my hair looks sometimes. Anyway, I did go into a fish and chip shop in Nowra one time and the bloke was beside himself. Oh, mate, unreal. What are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just doing a gig up the road at the Nowra RSL. He turned to his 15-year-old daughter, Christine. He goes, do you know who this is? And she looks at me like 15-year-olds do at middle-aged men. And she goes, nah. And he goes, oh, kids, bloody kids. You can't tell them anything, you know. And we kept having a yarn as he was getting me fish and chips ready. As I was walking out, he said, do you still do that Run to Paradise song, mate? And I said, yes. Yes, we do. Because once you're that embarrassed, I mean, there's no point explaining it to him.
Yeah, he's gone so far down that road.
Well, that's right, because otherwise he's embarrassed. His daughter thinks, you know, his daughter never talks to him again because her old man's an idiot. So I just let it ride. Yep, I got one of them heads. Just as you put the curly hair on it, I could be Robert Plant.
What about the worst place you've ever been recognised?
So the worst place to ever be recognised is in a urinal next to a bloke who wants to shake your hand. I know that people see me on stage and think that I just speak my mind, but mostly when I interact with people, I'm quite polite and courteous and stuff like that. So, yeah, I do draw the line at taking the hand of a man who's just put his member away.
So anything else is fair game if they want to come up and have a chat, just not there.
Yeah, that's right. A pat on the back, maybe.
Looks like you've got a fairly busy Oztober coming up.
I've got to look up two websites, see? Now I'm going to look up the Angels and see who I'm playing with at the moment. And you think I'm joking.
Obviously, you've got the frontman duties for both, but how does that work between two big bands that are still touring, still doing big shows, collaborations in and out of the recording studio? How do you balance it?
Luckily, I have the same agent and I'm not on mind-altering substances anymore. So I do have a bit of a handle on what's going on. So we've been with the Angels, we've been doing the 40th anniversary of the Face to Face album all through this year. And that's going to take up a lot of October. And then the Jets do the Gotcha Covered tour, which is where we're playing a bunch of those covers that we've done of Australian artists. So that'll take us up to December. And then I think January, I've got both the Angels and the Jets on the same bill doing the Red Hot Summer Tour, which is Chocolate Starfish, Moving Pictures, John Stevens, Baby Animals, Screaming Jets, Angels, Suzy Quatro, which is an amazing bill to be part of, just all great bands, and we have a great old laugh. We did it last year. And then all through next year will be the 30th anniversary of the Screaming Jets inception and the 40th anniversary of the Angels No Exit album. So I'm booked up till, I think the last gigs I've got in the book are that Rock the Boat in October next year, 2019.
Wow.
So booked up 12 months in advance. And, well, you know what they say when it comes to work? It's better to be looking at it than looking for it.
That is true.
Especially at my age.
How hard is it to switch from one to the other? You've got two iconic bands and obviously you've had more time with the Jets than you have with the Angels, but you've been a big fan of the Angels for quite some time too. Is it difficult to take one hat off and pop the other one on almost instantaneously?
Well, the thing is, the Angels, a lot of the Angels songs have been in my DNA for longer than Jet songs. So, I've known Angels songs since I'm 10, 11, 12 years old. I only found out recently I've been singing the wrong words in a few of them, but that's all right. Change a word, get a third, they say. But yeah, look, I look at it this way. With the Jets, with the Angels, I'm a subcontractor. So I get in there and my two bosses are John and Rick Brewster, and I make sure that everything I do, I kind of meet their standards or try and exceed their standards and try and keep the legacy of the Angels alive and kicking and growing as it is now. With the Jets, me and Paulie, we're the top dogs, man, and we'll do what we like, which is to our detriment sometimes because we're terrible bosses. When they say bosses should lead by example, well, that's led to most of the crap situations we've found ourselves in, including getting kicked off a plane off Impulse Airlines all those years ago.
Can we repeat that story here? Is it best safe for...
We played on the Gold Coast. We'd done a gig and we'd driven back to Brisbane after playing there. Got back to Brisbane quite late. Decided that because the flight was so early and we don't want to miss flights because we're very, conscientious like that. We stayed up. When we got to the airport, we're obviously inebriated. Turned out it was the first flight from Brisbane to Sydney from Impulse Airlines. You know, they had the water cannons spraying over the plane and everything. And we were singing Puff the Magic Dragon and the Love Boat, and I was drinking Jack Daniels and pretending I wasn't, and yeah, we got kicked off the plane. It was a huge commotion. Very slow news day Monday, and we ended up all over the news. My mother-in-law rang me wife and said, "Ooh, David's on the news," and that's when the fan. So, but that was a long time ago, and we've been very good on flights ever since.
You've been behaving yourself.
Yeah. Well, that was pre-2001. So, as we all know, the security on aeroplanes shifted very, very strongly after that. But
certainly did.
We got in just in time.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.